Jumping into the message, though, this morning, let's get back to our story that we finished or we started with last week. So we're in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. So let's get our Bibles out, our devices open. And if you have a red letter Bible, so that the letters of Jesus are in red, you will see almost in the whole thing, mine isn't, that Matthew 24 and 25, it's all in red. Jesus didn't even go up for air. He just kept talking and talking and teaching. It was just brilliant stuff. And so we talked about last week about the third point here. I've got a bit of a PowerPoint to kind of keep us on track, is that in the first section of 24, most of 24, it talks about like the end times. What will it be like? Signs of the end, you'll see in most of your Bible's headings, or the day and the hour is unknown. Nobody knows. It'll show up like, God will show up like a thief in the night. It'll just show up one day. We won't be really, in a sense, prepared. All of a sudden, he'll be here. Darn it, I thought he was going to come this time. I was just waiting for him to come. But so we don't know. Nobody knows. And so we talked a little bit about that. And then there's three parables that Jesus is talking with his disciples. So he's talking to like you and I as believers. And he's having this conversation, helping us understand what the end will be like so that we aren't unprepared, so that we are ready. So my first message last week, the parable of the 10 talents was called, Are We Prepared? And then today I'm going to talk about the second one here. So we got the parable of the talents. And then next Sunday I'll talk about the sheep and the goats. So he told these three parables, Jesus, to clarify so that we'd be ready for his return, so we wouldn't be shocked. A story of the virgins, again, we talked about last Sunday, was having your lampstand or your oil, making sure that everybody has their own. My kids can't inherit my faith. They have to have their own faith. They have to be prepared themselves. Let's not be like foolish virgins who didn't have any oil, had to run off, weren't ready for his return. Today, we're going to look at the talents. It shows the necessity of using what God has given you. He's all giving us something. And together, the kingdom is better when we all use it. I think if there's any kind of sign or significance to the things that are happening right now around Terrace or in our church, it's because the community is leaning in together. We're bringing our gifts and our talents together, and we're working for God's kingdom. I believe that so really strongly in my heart. Next week, we'll talk about the sheep and the goats. And so we know biblically, so sheep are good animals and goats are kind of usually dirty animals. But how do we serve those, in a sense, that need help? How do we reach our community? And so we'll talk about that next week. So no parable, though. There's three of them for a reason. Three is very significant in the Bible. None of them stand alone. It's all together. There's one thought here. And what it does is it paints a picture for us that at the end we need to know, we need to be ready, and what are we doing? And so God is painting this whole picture for us, and I just love that idea. So what are we doing with our time, our abilities, and our resources, or our money that God has entrusted to us right now? So I want to read the story, then we'll unpack it. It's a bit of a long story, so I better get a drink of water before I start reading. And then we'll look at two different ways. The disciples knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He was talking to them in a way that they could understand. I think we need to unpack it a little bit so we can understand. Then I'm going to bring it in today's culture for you and I. What does it mean to us today? What would be a parable that we could connect with? So here we go, Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. I can just tell right away, we know right away, that's probably not the wisest thing to do. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. He's doubled it. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Again, this is speaking about the end times. What will it be like? We're going to enjoy in God's happiness. We're going to be somewhere with him. The man who had 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. Again, he's doubled it. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then there's this other gentleman we're going to talk about. The man who had received the one talent. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seeds. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master is not going to be a happy camper, I can tell. You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banks at least, so that when I return, I would have at least received some interest back. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is the hard part. Again, talking about end times, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a hard thing to hear. We looked at every single story in 24 and 25. We knew that the end message was, we're talking about that we're going to go to heaven or we're going to go to somewhere that's really not super positive. And so again, it finishes that way. So the first thing that jumps out to me though, is scripturally, if we think about this, often we'll say things. And so when I was new to the church, people would say this and I hear people pray that. There's nothing wrong with it, but they'll say, I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. So what is the context for that? Because this is the only place in scripture it lands. There are other words, other kind of themes around that, but this is the only place where it lands. And so God will reward us for what we did in this life, as we just read here, with our talents, and we could look at it with our time, abilities, our resources, our money. He will call us into account with what we've done with those things. And if we've been good stewards with those things, then God will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And so what are we going to do with the time, the abilities, and the money that God's given with us? How do we invest it in the kingdom? And when we do that, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We have to understand that, because when Jesus comes, we shouldn't be surprised if we didn't hear that. We say, well, I didn't know that, Lord. No one ever taught me that, or I wasn't clear on that I was supposed to do something with my time and my abilities and my resources to help the kingdom to grow. I mean, the church, yes, I love the church, that. I'm a church guy. I'm a denominational guy. I love that. But I love the kingdom. And what are we doing for the kingdom? That's a question we have to ask. I know as leaders and board members, we're always asking the question. We look at 2025. We look at our 90th anniversary, going to our 100th anniversary. What are we doing for the kingdom's sake? Yes, there's certain things we'll do within these four walls and for the people in our church, but we're about the community. We're about the globe. How can we represent Jesus well all around this world? That challenges me. That keeps me up late at night, because I want to make sure we're doing an excellent job at that. So let's look at, again, Jesus shares this parable with the disciples, and they understood exactly what he was saying. Then we'll bring it into modern terms for you and I to understand. So verse 14 says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Often landowners, masters, the person of the house, they would go on long journeys. And sometimes they'd actually go and oversee some other properties. And so we know that back in the day, actually much like today, have you ever tried to travel somewhere and you don't actually arrive on time? Things are delayed. It was like that back in the day too. You thought, I'll be gone for 1 month. I'll be back on whatever date. And you would just go on a donkey or, something. And you would go and who knows what could happen. A storm could come. You'd go on a boat. You have no idea. Who knows when the master would actually return. So you go, I think he's coming back around this time. But you never knew. And so God is the same way. When he shows up, we could say, well, I can see the signs in the heavens. And I can see what's happening on earth. So there's an indicator that he's going to come at some point. But we don't know the day or the time. So that's what it's really clearly communicating to us. No matter how organized that person was, we never knew when he was going to return. Verse 15, to have give one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went away on his journey. although the exact money amount is up for debate, I would say. If I did the research on this, I came up with all kinds of numbers. People have all kinds of ideas of how much money this is, a talent of money. So the landowner gave people money. Now, the way I feel like I interpret that is saying it's an exuberant amount. It's an enormous, there's a lot of zeros to this amount. We say 5 talents. No, no. Like it's like five, I'm not saying billions, millions. It's just an enormous amount that probably someone could never make in their lifetime. God gave it to them. I feel like that's for you and I, isn't it? God's given us something that we don't deserve. We could never get on our own. And he's trusting us with it. And how are we going to handle that? I love that idea. Wealthy landowners usually delegated the control of their money to people that were good with the money. And sometimes they were the servants in the house. They would say, I'm going to trust this guy because he's good with numbers. He has a calculator in his brain. You know, let's use that guy. You know, we use this other guy here to push grain or to, you know, feed the animals or whatever. But this guy, he's running the business of the house. So the landowner could relax. That just, when I read that and I thought about that, boom, we go to Genesis. Let's go back there because we think about a story that reminds us of something like that. In Genesis 39, if you can remember a guy named Joseph. Joseph was a young man, lots of brothers. The brothers, you know, kick him out of the house. They get rid of him. They sell him. Somebody purchases Joseph. He ends up in a house as a servant. And we see in Genesis 39, this guy Joseph. In verse 1. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house as of his Egyptian master. So again, we see this master. We see Joseph as a servant. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, the whole household, and entrusted to his care everything he owned. Wow, that is a big responsibility. The blessing of the Lord was on everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he didn't even have to concern himself with anything except the food he had to worry about eating. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good thing, right? Joseph's doing a great job. And so for you and I, it's the same thing. The master's gone away. He's put us in charge of certain things, and those things should prosper. Those things should grow. Those things should, and he's just a servant. He's not like, he's got some title, he's got some position, he's got a bunch of money. Joseph is just the servant, and look at the favor that he gets with his master. Look at the favor that he gets with his Lord, because he's doing what God has asked him to do with the time, with his abilities, and with no resources. He's got Zippo. He's got nothing. He's got two nickels to rub together. But God does something wonderful in and through him. And that should motivate us in Jesus' name. I don't know how many nickels that you have. Some of us have oodles of them, and some of us have a few of them. But whatever God has given to you, do it and use it well for his kingdom's sake. And God will bless you and honor you for doing that. And so when he shows up at the end of time, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I really want to hear that, you know, honestly. I think about it this way. When I was prior to pastoring, so 20 years pastoring, prior to that I was in retail for 10 years. And I remember working at this retail place, and I don't know how well it went or how good of an employee I was, but in our setting, each one of us are interacting somewhere in the community, somewhere in a company or a business. We're an employee. Is that company better off because we're employed there? Now, it doesn't really matter what the company does or how it honestly handles its resources and its money. We see in this story, it says, you know, the landowner was a little bit, you know, interested in how he gathered and sowed. And so that's up open for interpretation of what that meant. But what's important is, like, as an employee, though, are you a blessing to your landowner? Are you a blessing to your master? Is the place better because you're there? I mean, Christians are all over these businesses. It's all over the kingdom. It's all over Terrace. And we're there to be a blessing. We're there to use our gifts wisely. And then God will say, good job. Well done. Okay, verses 16 and 17 here of Matthew 25. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Also, the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. At this point in history, not tons of people had money. So you could lend the money out at 12% interest. So if you had capital and you had money, man, you could make money quickly. So you could see here, these guys doubled their money. So they had a lot of money. They were able to invest that money, and it also made money. So we're not just talking about money here. We're just talking about pocketbooks here. We're talking about, again, our time, our abilities. How do we invest that? Because when we do that, we invest it in the kingdom, and we invest it well. It multiplies. It becomes more than we had in the beginning. And so I love that idea. Verse 18, but the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. You know, that's one way to invest the time and energy and stuff that we have, is just to kind of bury it and hold on to it. And honestly, be afraid. I think there's times in my life where I was afraid of what God was asking me to do. I said, God, whoa, you got to, I think you're talking about the other person, not me. And I don't want to be like that. I want to be like, yes, Lord, amen, let's do it. I want to go. I don't want to bury it. You know, burying it is one way to keep it safe, but it's not the best way to use what God's given us. Let's just unpack the person about how he handled the money and what God had to say to him. The man who had received one talent came, Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid the talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I would harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that at least when I return, I'd have some interest from the bank. So one way that you and I can invest money, right? You know, our broker here is on holidays, the guy that goes to our church who's also oversees the finances in our church and works with Brenda closely. He's not here, so he could kind of, you know, confirm what I'm saying. But some of us do this. We invest money. We go to the person, the broker, we say, here's my money, and I want it to be low risk. I want to make sure I never lose my capital. Keep the capital. Little bit of interest. I don't want that high risk business. I don't want that medium risk stuff. I don't want to gamble it all and I might lose it all. You know, the person could have at least done that. They could have at least invested it in a low risk. They didn't lose any of their capital, a little bit of interest, so that his master would have been, you know, more satisfied with what he received. So it's like you and I with our time and our energy and our talents. Put it to work even in a little way. Sometimes it just takes a little step of faith to get the ball rolling for us, to receive more and to see it grow. Sometimes it takes us to kind of get over that hump or through that wall or over that hurdle. It's in a manner that would have shocked the original audience of that time. So in ancient times, when you were a servant of the house, man, you honored and you respected your master. You wouldn't say things like this to your master. You know, I was afraid of you. You know, I don't know, it was crazy. You're a wicked master. That was harsh. So when the disciples heard Jesus say that, they thought, I would never want to say that about my master. I would never want to talk about that about my master. Blame my master for my failures. Blame my master for giving me too much to handle, and I was just overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. I was so afraid, I just buried it all. And then when he came back, I just was like, here's what you gave me to start with. And there was nothing to show for it. Isn't that a tough teaching? I know when I was reading that and going through, I thought, this will probably be the toughest teaching of these three parables, because it really gets up on your business and up on your space. And I hope it kind of encourages us, though, as we think about 2025 and, you know, where are we headed? What are we doing this year? What are we doing for the kingdom? What are we doing with our time and our abilities and our resources? What are we doing with those things? Okay, let me bring it into today's terms. Let me help bring some application of this story, and then I'll share a story with you that I think will connect some dots. Okay, so verse 14 says, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants. So the man is God, and we are his servants, and he's saying, take care of my property while I'm away. So he gave one 5 talents, one 2, and one 1. The master divided the talents. So he had all this money. He said, I'm going to give some to this one, and that person, and this person. And among his servants, according to their abilities, no one received more or less than he could handle. Each according to their ability. God hasn't given you something that you cannot handle. He's not asking you to do something that he will not help you to do. He's not asking you to just go out there and ruin your life and make a giant mistake and make a big fool of yourself. God is saying, please go and do this, and I will be with you. I've given you everything you need. Some positions look grander than others, and some things that we're called to do look less than others, but whatever it is, big or small, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can fulfill what we're asked, what God's asking and calling us to do. If we fail the assignment, and this is what challenges me, our excuse can't be that I was overwhelmed, Lord. My failure and my laziness towards my master is because you gave me too much. God, I can't handle that. You know, what time and abilities and finances you gave me, it's just overwhelming. I'm just exhausted by that thought. The issue is not how much we have, but it's the issue of what we do with what we have. It's not the amount, but it's what you do with that amount. And so I just love that idea. Verse 19 says, a long time the master and his servants returned and he settled accounts with them. Again, this is an end times parable. God will come back one day. And as he spoke to his disciples, he said, well done, good and faithful servants, those that were doing well with their time and their abilities and their money. Great job. Then we look at the other servant. And we'll just look at it just for a moment here, verses 24 and 25. The man who received one talent, you know, just said, you're a harsh master. So the last man was thinking, this third servant was only thinking really of himself. He was kind of playing it safe. He wanted to protect himself from his harsh master. He did, you know, he's focused on self-centeredness. He's making all these excuses, blaming his master. I love that idea. He's like, you know, you gave me this problem, even though he received the least amount. This person had nothing to do with, he didn't want anything to do with the Lord and all these things that God had asked him to do. He just said, I'm just going to bury it and be quiet. I'm just going to keep it to myself. And so that is a tough, tough teaching, isn't it? I wonder if the disciples are standing there going, is one of you like that? Is he talking to you or is he talking to me? As the disciples were listening to Jesus speaking to him. And so when I hear that story, it reminds me of another story in the Bible in Matthew. So let's just go back a couple chapters. So Matthew chapter 14, there's a story in the Bible which I think will help illustrate, help us to understand what we do with our time and our abilities and our money. Now this is Matthew chapter 14, verses 16 onward. And you have to bring a sack lunch to this illustration here. So in Matthew 14, verses 16 onward, talking about Jesus feeding 5,000 people. So I just want to read a few verses, then I want to unpack it for us a little bit. So verse 16, Jesus replied. Jesus was teaching all day. A big crowd of people showed up. And it was getting late. People were getting hungry. And the disciples are like, we better find them some food. And so Jesus said to the disciples, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Verse 17, we have only 5 loaves of bread and a couple fish. They answered, bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of leftovers. The number of those who ate were 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Okay, so I need to be in that story. I need to connect with this story. So I actually have when I get to heaven, I want to ask the disciples, tell me about that story. I want to see how that played out. Pretend you're the disciple. Okay, so you got the bag and Jesus, bring that over here. You know, I'm gonna take that. So I just got this small loaf of bread here as an example. Put that down there. Okay, so you bring this loaf and the fish to Jesus, and you got the disciples, you know, standing off to the side, whichever side you want to think about. And I don't know if as a disciple you're thinking like, okay, you know, I've seen Jesus do some pretty cool things before. So he's gonna do something with this meal, and he wants to feed 5,000. So what would that look like? I don't know if the disciples are thinking like, okay, so once he gets it, all of a sudden it's gonna multiply, or you know, maybe when we take, like, I don't know. I don't know if you're the disciple that you're probably like, I want to be at the end of the line, because I don't know how this is gonna play out. You know, 5 loaves. He breaks it in half. That means the first 10 guys are going to get half a loaf. I'll just be at the back, you know, oh, Jesus. I'm just going to be around with Jesus. In case these children come around, I'll just shoo them away. You just stay safe. Those 10 disciples will go feed the people because I don't know what that looks like. And there's this guy over here. He looks like he's related to Andre the Giant or, you know, somebody. And he's eyeing me up. He's like, if you don't feed me, I'm going to punch you in, you know, like, he's going to start chewing on my arm or something. So, like, I don't want to go out and feed the, you know. And so Jesus takes the food and he looks up to heaven and says, God bless it. And then he broke it. So let's say you got half a loaf now. This is the better half. I like the top. So you're the disciple. You got half a loaf now. When does it multiply? Because if Jesus was here and it says that he took the loaves and the fish and he broke it, was it like manna from heaven? All of a sudden Jesus is like all these fish and all these loaves. Then he's like, okay, disciples, back the truck up. Let's load the truck up. And then we'll go feed those people. Does it say that? No, doesn't say that. I'm so interested about when and how it looked. Because now you're the disciple and you have half a loaf. And you're looking out there and you're just like, two guys are eyeing you up. Like, I'm feeding them first. They're going to kick my butt later. You know, you other people, you guys better fast over here because this guy's going to eat it all. And so you kind of go out there and you're just thinking, okay, I'm going to feed this guy first. And then you're like, just, you know, be nice, you know, take, that guy's got to eat too, you know. Like, so you feed that person. Like, when does it multiply? I don't know. But I believe strongly when you read that scripture, it multiplies. It says when Jesus gave it to the disciples, Jesus has given us time, oodles of it. He's given us abilities and gifts, tons of it. There are so many talented people in this church. He's given us resources and money to do the things that God wants us to do in and through this community and for the kingdom's sake. And if we just hold on to it, or if we honk and bury it, there's no value in that. It can't grow. But as soon as we open up our hands and we give it away, then it has the ability to multiply and to grow. I pray as a church that we would just resonate with that and get a hold of that and say, I just want to be a person that just wants to just be generous. I want to give. I want to serve. Whatever it looks like, because I believe with all of my heart that it can multiply as soon as I give it away. And as I do that, when God shows up and returns, it won't be kind of like, Lord, I don't know what I've been up to with my time. It'll be so clear. Jesus said, well done. That's all I want to hear. That's why I live my life for Christ. I lived my life for myself for 23 years. The last 23 years, I've tried to live for Christ. It's been an interesting journey, but I'm trying my best. And I hope one day that God will say that to me. And if we should not be surprised and think about like, well, why didn't I hear that? Or why wouldn't I hear that? Because we're not challenging ourselves enough with our time and our abilities and our resources. I believe that so, so strongly. I think about as a church, and we think about these principles often. We say, 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and 20% of the people give 80% of the money, and all that kind of that hocus pocus. I believe in Jesus' name that this church, we're at our 90th, time we get to our 100th, 100% of the people in this church will give of their time and their abilities and their resources for the kingdom's sake. That's the goal. In the next 10 years, I believe with all of my heart, we're going to put up a sign over there by the Welcome Center that in 10 years, it'll be 100th anniversary. We're going to have 100 salvations, 100 baptisms, and 100 new members. I just believe that in Jesus' name because we will do the work of the kingdom, and that will bring about multiplication and fruit in Jesus' name as we work together. This isn't a Pastor Ben idea and my idea. This isn't a board idea. This isn't a leadership idea. This is a team idea. The Church of the Pentecostal in Terrace, working together with all of our gifts and all of our abilities, will accomplish that. I really believe that in Jesus' name. I want to do a couple fun things this coming year, just to be totally random and out there because we're online and nobody will hold me accountable to the things I usually say, and it's the beginning of the year, so you might as well just make a fool of yourself right out of the gate here. I just feel like, you know, I looked at Sunday morning, so like as an example, like, how are we using our time and gifts and ability and resources and all that kind of stuff just here on Sunday morning? And I think about, you know, somebody came early and opened the door, opened the back gate. Somebody came and shoveled and put some salt down on the ice so nobody slipped. Somebody's back there making cookies all week. Somebody just made coffee for us this morning. Somebody came through and kind of straightened everything up and vacuumed. We got this big worship team up here. All these things are happening behind the scenes. These are people using their gifts and their talents and abilities. Do you ever think that God would say, you know, to the worship team, well done, you guys did good. Now for that person shoveling the snow or making the coffee, I don't know about that guy. You know, like, it's just as important, big or small. Cleaning the toilets is just as important so that when you go sit on that toilet, it's gonna be clean in Jesus' name. That's using your ability as well, on your knees. I just want to remind you of that one on there. But all of these different ways. You know, in our church, we've got people that sit in this corner, usually over here. I'll just give all glory to this section here just for a second. But most of these elderly women have sat here and every single day pray for you and I. God is going to say to you, well done. Been doing it for longer than I've been alive. You've been praying for this church and this community and for people like Pastor Ben and I. Wow. God is going to say, well done. And sometimes people don't even know about the things that happen behind the scenes, but they are using their time and the gifts that God gave them. They're using them well. And so we want to celebrate them. I want to be known for a church. We are known for a church that gives away free Bibles. Isn't that cool? People will phone here all the time. Is this that church that gives away free Bibles? That's the truth. Amen. Preach it. I want to be known for something else as well. So I'll make up some cards this year. Chris and I are working on already. We've got a bit of a draft going. Now, I don't know if it's like pay it forward or tag your it or something towards that effect, is that you're going to go around the community and we're going to see, not you, me too, all of us, and we're going to see something, a need. There's all kinds of ways we do this. Some people, like when they buy something new, they're like, I can afford to buy this new thing. I'm going to buy two. And I'm going to allow the Lord to direct me to the person who needs this new thing because I'm going to bless them with that. Sometimes people will be going through the grocery, through the checkouts. You see somebody that's in need, you go, I'm going to take care of that for them. I'm going to pay their bill. Sometimes you're at a restaurant. You feel that same way. You feel that same urge. I'm going to take care of that. You're going to see somebody. You're going to help them. You're going to serve them, whatever it looks like. I want to have a card that says out there, you know, tag your it. A member of the Terrace Pentecostal Church wants to bless you in Jesus' name. I want our community to know that we're known as that. We're the kind of church that does that. We go over and above. We think about others before we think about ourselves. We're willing to take our jacket off. We're willing to shovel snow. We're willing to hold a door. We're willing to bend over back. We're willing to take the worst parking spot so the other person can have a better parking spot in Jesus. We're going to get to the aisle and be like, the last cookie, you know, the last, I don't know, gingerbread house. And we'll be like, oh, you want it? You can have it. I don't need that gingerbread house. I want to just be so generous. I'm thinking about multiplication as we just give. Give it all away. Give everything you have away so that you can hear well done one day. Wouldn't that just be the best thing that we could ever do? Oh, that's exciting to me. I better stop before I keep going on here. Thanks for letting me share that difficult message with you. I had a lot of fun with it. So if you're hungry, there's a bun right there after. Okay, let's close this off. I'm going to close my eyes. I'll be gone by the time we get back. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, thank you, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the spoken word, the written word, the Lamb of God. God, we want to honor you with it. Father, as a church, we're just so many wonderful things happening, a lot of excitement around this church. But I also pray that we wouldn't just become idle, we wouldn't just kind of coast and just be satisfied with where we're at. Pray that we continue to press in. Pray that we continue to look to you for wisdom and guidance, and we would look to you to lead and guide us each and every moment of every day. Lord, I thank you for those that are looking at your word, doing their devotions, asking God, what are you challenging me with? I want to be obedient to you and to you alone. I feel and I sense like, Lord, you just put this thought on my mind. When I left retail all those years ago, and you called me into ministry, that was super difficult. I said, you're kidding. You want to use some Yahoo like me to get into the ministry. I thought I wasn't worthy. I thought I didn't have what it took. I was only thinking about what I could see. But you saw something different. You saw something in me. You gave me the time and the abilities and the gifts to do what I'm doing today. And I pray for somebody here today. I don't know who that is. You've been bearing this idea. You've been saying no to this point. And God is asking you. He's calling you out. He's saying, would you trust me with whatever it is? I pray that you would say yes this morning. It's going to be the greatest journey of your life. The most fulfilling and the most rewarding is to honor God. Honor the Master and say yes to him this morning. So thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.